Welcome to Torah Simecha Nachyomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Rivka Foxbrunner, and today we will be learning Yeshayahu Perek Nun Zayin, Chapter 57. The Talmud in Moed Katan tells us that the death of a righteous person atones for our sins. When punishment is set to come upon a generation because of its deeds, a righteous person will be taken away instead for one of two reasons. Either to spare the righteous person the hardship of watching his fellow Jews suffer, or to inspire the people to do tshuva. Hatzadik avad ve'ein ish sam alev. The righteous man perishes and no one considers. Ve'anshei chesed ne'esafim ve'ein mevin. Pious men are taken away and no one gives thought. Ki mipnei hara'a ne'esaf hatzadik. That because of the evil, the righteous were taken away. The generation watches righteous people die and they don't think about it. If they did, they would realize that if Hashem is taking the righteous away and leaving the wicked, then punishment is soon to follow. Rashi gives the example of King Yoshiyahu. The prophetess Huldah told him specifically that he was going to die in order that he not see the evil that would come upon his generation. Yavo shalom, he will come to peace. Yanuchu al mishkvosam haholech nechocho. They will rest on their resting places, those who walk straight. The righteous man is not losing out because he will be in the world of truth basking in Hashem's glory. It is the generation that loses out on his presence and influence. The following verses contain harsh and sharp rebuke, difficult to hear. It is hard to understand how Yeshayahu could speak this way to his people and needs to be taken in context of the superhuman love and devotion that he had for them. And of course, that these words are coming from Hashem himself, who loves each one of us more than we can fathom. Atem kirvu hena b'nei onana. But as for you, in contrast to the righteous person who has died, come closer, you sons of a sorceress. Zera mina'if v'tizne, offspring of an adulterer and a harlot. After calling attention to the death of the righteous, those who are left are called for very harsh rebuke. This verse references immorality. Immorality is often used in the prophets as a metaphor for idolatry. Just as adultery is the most obvious display of disloyalty to a spouse, idolatry is the most obvious display of our disloyalty to Hashem. Some commentaries read all of the references to immorality in this chapter as purely homiletical, referring only to idol worship, while others assert that the people were being admonished for both avodah zarah, idol worship, and immoral relationships. We will try to weave both approaches through these verses. Al metis anagu, in whom do you take delight? Al mit harchivu pe ta'arichu lashon, at whom do you open your mouth and stick out your tongue to mock them? Halo atem yilde pesha zera shaker, aren't you children of iniquity, offspring of falsehood? The prophet here is attacking the values of the people. They are making fun of the prophets. They delight in evil instead of Hashem. They mock the prophets and righteous people when they are the ones who deserve to be mocked. Hanechamim ba'ilim tachas kol etz ra'anan. You fulfill your lusts, either idolatry or immorality, under every leafy tree. Shochateh yaladim benechalim tachas si'ifei haslaim. You slaughter children in the wadis among the clefts of the rocks. Very difficult to understand. We know that there were types of idol worship in which Jewish people were inexplicably steeped that involved child sacrifice. After describing the Avodah Zarah further, the Navi asks in the name of Hashem, Ha'al Eile Enachem, should I have mercy on this? Hashem here is calling out to the people. You are blaming me for your suffering, and I am calling out to you. I am describing your own behavior. Is this something that I should have mercy on? Al har gavoha v'nisa samt mishkavech. On a high and lofty hill you have set your bed. Gam sham alis lizboach zavach. There too you have gone up to perform sacrifices. This verse is a perfect example of the two approaches that we mentioned at the beginning of the chapter. Many commentaries say that this is a reference to an ancient custom of performing immoral acts in front of the deities. Others explain that the reference to sexual immorality here is again just a parable for idolatry, that they climb to great heights to bring sacrifices to their idols. V'achar hadeles v'hamezuzah samt zichronech. Behind the door and the doorpost, you have put a reminder. Ki me'itiki lis v'ta'ali. You uncovered yourself and rose up for me. Hirchavt mishkavech. You expanded your bed. Vatichras lach mehem. Ahavt mishkavam yad chazis. You made covenants with them for yourself whenever you saw a place to express your love. The literal understanding of these verses, based on the approach that the nation was seeped in actual immorality, is that even when a woman was with her husband, she would have a reminder of another man behind the door. She would rise up from her husband's bed to be with another man. Her bed was expanded in that the most private areas of her life that were supposed to include only her husband were expanded to include others. She even looked for other opportunities to express her lust. A terrible condemnation of the nation's morality. If the references to immorality are purely allegorical, the people would hide idols behind their doors so that when the door was open, no one would see. They would go from serving Hashem to serving idols and allow idols into their life of worship where they did not belong. Vatichras lach mehem. You served them for your own sake. You thought you would be able to get what you wanted by serving them, so you looked for every opportunity to do so. Besides for serving idols, the Jewish people looked to any source of salvation besides Hashem. In verses 9 and 10, the prophet describes gifts that they sent to sovereign kings and journeys that they made to them in order to save themselves from destruction. And when traveling, they took part in the idol worship and sin of foreign cultures. Hashem asks of them, Lo zachart, lo samta libech, you did not remember me, nor did you pay attention. Halo ani machsheh me'olam ve'otzi lo sirai. It is because I have been quiet for so long that you have no fear of me. Hashem has waited to punish us in order to give us a chance to do tshuva. Instead, we have taken it as an indication that he isn't there. He waits to punish us out of mercy, but in the end it is not merciful, because then we forget that he is there and cease to fear him. So now punishment will come, and when it does, b'za'akech yatziluch kibbutzayich. When you cry out, let your cohort save you, meaning the idols and the foreign nations that you relied on. Everyone who you turn to besides me, let them save you. Ve'eskulam yisaruach yikachavel. But the wind will carry them off and nothing will take them. Your trust and reliance on them will yield nothing. But v'hachosev vi yinchal eretz v'yirash har kodshi. But those who trust in me shall possess the land and inherit my sacred mountain. Not everyone is lost. Those who trust in Hashem will be saved. Radak says this refers specifically to Chizkiyahu. Many kings, even those that were generally righteous, chose to make treaties against the instructions of the prophets in order to save the kingship of Judah. Chizkiyahu, on the other hand, when the city was surrounded by the army of Sanherib, the greatest army in the world, he was told to go to sleep and do nothing, and he was told that Hashem would save them. And so he did, and they were saved. He relied on Hashem, and he was the only one to be saved in such a manner. And on this finally uplifting note, after a very harsh rebuke, the Navi resumes his prophecy about the ultimate redemption. Va'amar, solu solu panu darech. The Navi will say, pave, pave, clear a path. Harimu, harimu michshol miderech ami. Remove all obstacles from the way of my people. Hashem is ready to bring the redemption, so he tells the people to remove their obstacles to the service of Hashem. They should clear their hearts of the negative inclination that keeps them from repenting. They should introspect and recognize the excuses that they tell themselves in order to escape service of God. Ki cho amar ram v'nisa, for thus says he who is high and aloft, shochein ad v'kadosh mo, who dwells forever, whose name is holy, marom v'kadosh eshkon. I dwell on high in holiness, ve'es daka ushval ruach, and with the contrite and the lowly in spirit, lachayos ruach shvalim ulachayos lev nidakim, reviving the spirits of the lowly, reviving the hearts of the contrite. Hashem is the most holy and lofty, but he lives amongst those who genuinely repent and are not haughty. The contrition in and of itself brings Hashem's presence. Ki lo la'olam ariv v'lo la'netzach ektof. For I will not always contend. I will not be angry forever. Ki roch milfanai atof. The spirit that envelops them is from me. Uneshamos ani asisi. And their souls I made. As we know, Hashem will not punish us forever. According to Rashi, this verse is about the nation as a whole, that throughout our history, there's a cycle of sin and punishment and repentance, and then sin again. But eventually, this cycle will end. And of course, it will end because of what the pasuk says, because Hashem made us in order to serve him, and he wants to bring us close. He punishes us for our own sake and gives us the opportunity to do tshuva. So even though some will fall, we as a nation will of course be brought back to him. According to Radak, this is about an individual Jew. Each individual person has a soul that is a gift from Hashem. Hashem says to them, I gave you that soul as a gift. I bring suffering as a punishment, but the anchor is not permanent. As soon as that soul returns to me, there will be no more anger. As a nation and individuals, there will be sin and then punishment, but there will also be mercy and redemption. And eventually, Borei Niv Sfasayim, I will create a new way of speaking. Shalom, shalom. Instead of expressing suffering, the righteous will say, peace, peace. La rachok v'la karov, amar Hashem. For those who are far away and those have just returned to me, they will be the same in my eyes, urifasiv, and I will heal them. I will heal each one of them. The righteous will experience tranquility and peace, but there will be those who were left behind. V'harishaim kiyam nigrash, ki hashket lo yuchal. But the wicked are like the troubled sea, which cannot rest. V'yigrashu meimav refesh vatit, whose waters toss up mire and mud. A sinner watches others go down the path of evil and destroy himself, and yet he does the same, like the waves of the sea that watch each one before it collapse on the shore, and yet follow. Ein shalom, amar Elokai l'Rasha'im. There is no peace, says my God, for the wicked. The chapter ends by telling us that the cycle of punishment will end, and we will be brought back to Hashem. But unfortunately, those who do not heed his calls will not be included in that salvation. Thank you for learning together. Le'ilui Nishmas, Malka Esther, Bas Tzvi Yosef.